Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Nikki Carulla, with guest host and engineer, Ronen Rosner. How are you? Our studio audience loves you because they've seen you at every show. You've been here for a long time. How are you,
Ronen? I'm good. Thanks for having me. I'm usually on the other side.
I know. You're like the silent host.
Yeah.
You're part of the team, though. I like it.
I'm the engineer.
You got upgraded.
Yeah.
You know? Now you're like in the big. You're in the hot seat.
Definitely.
So you were telling me your kids are getting ready for Halloween.
Yeah.
What are they going to dress up as?
Well, yeah, my oldest, she's 8. She's always got this unique, costume. So she's not going to dress up as, princess or whatever. She's got this Spider Girl kind of dress with evil cat accessories on
top
of it. Yeah. So she's always like, very unique. My little
So you're like, wait, so you want to do Spider-Woman with a Batgirl with Catwoman?
Yeah, exactly. She's like, Spider-Girl, Cat, Evil, something.
That's awesome. What's cool about that is like it's an individuality thing.
You know? Yeah. She was always like that. Yeah. My little one, she's the princess. We already got her Princess Sophia dress. So
nice.
She's like, no, I'm a princess. I'm good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Not many people know this, but I'm hoping it fits Otis, my bulldog, but we're dressing him as Beetlejuice.
Nice.
And then my girlfriend and I are going to be Alec Baldwin and Gina Davis, which is going to be awesome.
Awesome. So, yeah, I heard a lot of people dress up their pets.
You know what? Last year, I dressed him up as a little pirate, and I just got addicted because he looked so hilarious. So we get way into Halloween. There's Halloween stuff all over the house, and he doesn't know it yet, but he's going to be quite the festive dresser, that's for sure.
Does your dog let you? Because mine, as soon as we put something on her, you know, the tail goes between the legs and the ears could just fall down. And she's like, what did I do wrong to deserve this?
Otis definitely gives you that look.
Yeah.
You bribe him with treats. And you just hope for the best. But, you try to get costumes that are comfortable. Like, the cool thing about the pirate outfit, his legs were, like, really comfortable. It was really loose. So you didn't really notice that. What was amazing was the hat. Hmm. The hat fit so perfectly on him. And when he would walk on all fours, it would look like he was walking upright as a pirate. And, I mean, honestly, it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, so. I've seen some of those costumes that, the front, with the front legs, it looked like a person.
I saw this video of, I think it was about 10 or 12 bulldogs, all dressed up in different costumes. And the one that I was looking for when I saw it was a stegosaurus. A bulldog dressed up as a stegosaurus. And I couldn't find his size. I could only find medium and large. I was looking everywhere for that, and I just couldn't find it. But it didn't look like the most comfortable costume. I mean, but I, you know what was awesome was that bulldog that was in it was such a sport because he was just like chilling in it. But I mean, this family that dressed up these bulldogs, I mean, they had pink hats. It looked like you were in like a costume contest.
Yeah.
Because they had dinosaurs, they had cowboys, they had Draculas, they had everything you could imagine.
Yeah.
And it seriously was one of the best ways to dress up a bulldog. So I was looking for a lot of these costumes, and I wanted to do something unique, And then I wanted to do something that I could also be included in his costume. So
cool.
It was Beetlejuice. Yeah. So I'm a little worried about it fitting him, but I'm more excited to see how he's going to look with that little hairpiece that goes straight up. So
funny. So you bought it? You found it? You know,
I found it on Amazon.
Nice.
So I usually buy costumes online because A, they're cheaper, and B, you know, if I can return them, all I have to do is put it in an envelope and send it off. But you usually are able to find the sizes that way. But my last resort is if it doesn't fit, I'll be at a Petco or a PetSmart. Near you, hopefully. We'll see.
You should try all those Halloween stores. They're popping up.
Yeah. Do they have pet stuff?
Because
really?
A lot of people dress up their pets now, so they sell them as well. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So do you go with your kids to trick-or-treat?
Yeah, of course.
So is it kind of bumming you out that you don't get any candy? You steal their candy.
Exactly. As they get tired, it's like, Daddy, can you hold my bag? And I was like, okay, sure. They go to sleep, and I start.
So what's your candy of choice? What's your favorite? What's the piece of candy that you look and you're like, oh, yeah.
Everything that has chocolate and, you know, Twix.
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Kit Kat,
definitely.
One.
I used to love Snickers, but not anymore. Actually,
Why?
Got into, I don't know, too sweet for me now.
Huh.
But I like Baby Ruth because I love peanuts and I love the.
Baby Ruth? You made me think of Goonies.
Yeah, I know.
My favorite's Reese's and Kit Kat.
Yeah.
And those are my favorite. The funny thing is when you have all those variety packs. Like, they always put you with, like, one... There's always one candy that you don't like.
Like Butterfinger.
Yeah. It's always something that you're like,
What's with Butterfinger? It's like, you take it out and always tastes stale. You don't know if it's fresh or what, or it's like 5 years old. It's always like...
What's the piece of candy that you're like, when you see somebody gave it out, you're like, disappointed in them? You're like, really? Come on. Like, sometimes, you know, when I was a kid and trick-or-treating, it was always those, like, sweet tarts that were, like, the mini sweet tarts that were in the little tubes.
Okay.
They were, like, the cheapest candies around.
Yeah, pretty much
like,
anything.
And they tasted like Tylenol. It was, like the worst.
No-name brands, kind of 99-cent stores.
Yeah. I learned my lesson,
Made
though.
In China.
Like, last year was the first year I actually handed candy, you know, out to the kids. And I first let, like, the first two or three swarms of kids just, like, take their own... You know,
as many as they like.
My God, we were out of candy in like an hour.
Yeah.
So it's like I hand them out. It's like,
Or you just tell them, you know, pick like two or three because there's for other kids as well.
But it's so adorable seeing all the kids all dressed up.
It's funny how at first, you know, the first like few doors they knock, it's like they're you're embarrassed. They're like they don't know what's the deal with that adult giving out candy, but at one point, they're just like running to the door, bang, 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 trick or treat, thank you. Wow. They just, you know, memorize and just go automatically from one door to the other.
And there's always that little kid that, like, the one parent dressed him up with whatever they wanted the kid to look like, and he doesn't even know, or she doesn't know, and they're just dressed like a big pumpkin or a big, you know, princess or vampire or something. Those are the cutest costumes. Those are my favorite.
But I did notice that, you know, through the years doing that with my daughters, because, you know, I didn't grow up. I came from Israel about 10 years ago. So for us, it was like, wow, it's like in the movies, right?
Yes.
Because we don't celebrate Halloween in Israel. So I did notice, unfortunately, that many neighborhoods, you know, the number of houses being decorated just go down every year.
Really?
Yeah. So... during that night, you see a lot of houses that just, you know, turn off the lights.
Right.
They don't decorate. It's just, I don't know, maybe the economy, you know, in the last few years, maybe a lot of...
You just inspired me to now turn my house into, like, a Halloween haunted house.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah.
Wait for it. Just kidding.
There's this one neighborhood that we go, and the guys over there, they like dress up, you know, like zombies, and they chase you. So as soon as you get close to the house, they start chasing you.
The houses that used to like really scare me the most is when there was like a bloodied scarecrow or skeleton just like sitting in a chair outside, and then you'd walk up and you're like, that's totally fake, and they'd be so still, and they, you know, you'd get your candy and on your way out, then they'd get up and be like, ah! And it was like, ah! Woo! It was crazy. It was crazy. Those houses. Oh, I always remember those houses. Did you ever have to, like, did your kids ever go through, like, a haunted house at any of the houses?
No. Now, they're too little. We don't want to scare them.
Scare them too much? Well, those houses were my favorite. And I'm going to have to maybe bring up a haunted house for my own place. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Ooh, you see that? Anyways, I think our special guest has arrived. Mr. Michael Zygon. How are you, buddy? Wait for it. Just give it up as much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
It's probably been back. Yeah, that's right. Back. Probably a year and a half now.
Dude, it might even be longer than that.
What?
Like 2 years, dude.
So Ronan, Mike was on our first network in an office in downtown, and it was probably a year and a half ago, and you were probably only on for like 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, it was a short.
It was quick.
Short and sweet.
That's when we used to do four guests.
I was like, man, it's coming in. I come in here. Nice.
Yeah, you got a green room.
You got some plants.
You have bottles of water, cold or warm.
Straight up class, man.
Dude, we upgraded, man. That's what happens when you put in the time.
Dude, I'm so happy to be over here.
So you've been playing in Vegas. Tell us about what's going on with you in Vegas.
Yeah, so I play, like, you know, every musician doesn't just have, you know, one outlet of just making money. At least, you know, I mean, I know you know. But
wait, easy guys, easy.
Oh yeah, Nicky, only one thing over here on the radio. So I'll do that. I play with a band out there. The name of the band is Radio Rave. It's, you know, covers and all that stuff. You know, top 40s, classic rock, whatever the place calls for. We have a bunch of different sets. And so this week I played at the Paris Hotel Casino in the Stratosphere for 7 days straight. So it's just like, you know, grinding. And then, now I'm back in L.A., and I'm happy. I'm so happy to be back. Like, just got back today, drove 4 hours on the 15 freeway through the freaking desert.
You probably do that drive a lot.
I do. And sometimes we fly out, but a lot of the time we drive because, you know, gear, you know, if the place doesn't have a full backup, then it's like, you know, I ain't going to fly my amp.
A fun little tidbit, Ronan. Like, Mike and I did a little a casino conference for my band.
Dude, I think about that every time I go out there.
It was so fun, and we actually jumped off the Stratosphere.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we were hooked onto, like, it was kind of like a bungee.
It's like a controlled descent.
Yes.
Like, you jump, and it's like a carabiner, and there's something in there, like, there's a wire system.
Yeah, it slows you down.
But
it's crazy, because you do jump. You do have to just...
Oh, you free fall.
You free fall for a good 2 or 3 seconds off the Stratosphere. And the funny thing is, I took the whole band out to dinner at this restaurant called Top of the World, at the top of the Stratosphere. So while we're eating, you just see people jumping off the window. I mean, you're just like, what? What is that? So that's actually how we found out about that you could do this.
Yeah,
and then the next day, after everybody left, we're like, yo, let's go jump off the Stratosphere. So,
That's the ultimate hangover cure.
Oh,
get that adrenaline rush and, like...
That's the ultimate, like, oh my God, I better be present, otherwise I'll... It really is.
I learned something about myself after that, because, like, your brain says, like, yeah, you know, I'm doing this. Like, I can't wait. Like, I'm totally down. I'm jumping off. And then your body, like, when you go to take that first step, it's like, what are you doing, man? Like, what are you doing? You're not walking off this
it's
building.
Like, you're crazy. You're crazy.
Like, you're pulling your back. You know?
You get those leg cramps. Suddenly it's like, you can move.
Like, ooh.
I'm sorry. I'm not feeling
it's almost like a cartoon. Like, your toes, like, grab onto the ledge.
Yeah, man. It's like your body is just like, your brain's thinking, like, yeah, let's do this.
That's too funny. So, Mike, you came all the way from upstate New York. You were actually from the city, right?
No, I was from Long Island, man. I'm from outside the city, about... A 30-minute train ride. Babylon, New York. Small town. Biggest, like, it's the number one train stop on the way out from Penn Station. If you're going to Long Island from Penn Station or in, usually you'll see Babylon. That's where people come to get on the train and go.
And it sounds like this when you're out, when you walk out.
Hell yeah, it does. You know, it's a nice town on the water. Everybody's got boats. You pull up your boat in your backyard, kind of a thing.
Like, that's cool.
Yeah, you know, you ride your boat from the bay over to the... To the ocean, you know, surf all summer, and then the winter, you know, you go out on the ice and stuff, ice skate on there. It's a cool life, but, you know, I don't know. That's why I moved to L.A. I was no more.
Well, let's talk about that. What got you into music? What was the moment that you were like, I need to get into music?
Man, I mean, when I was a kid, my dad and my mom were both really big fans of music, and there was never any children's music in the house. There was never anything like that. It was like right off the bat, my dad was like, Grateful Dead, Grateful Dead, Grateful Dead. And then my mom came at me with like Queen, 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 just like, you know,
that's awesome.
Hard. And Queen and the Traveling Wilburys, which is like my one of my favorite groups of all time, like top three, you know, the best super group of all time.
And the Traveling Wilburys were in, I don't know if you remember, but it was Tom Petty, yeah. Bob Dylan, Roy Orbison, Jeff Lynne. And who's the fifth Wilbury? Or is it just four?
We say George Harrison.
George Harrison was the fifth. That's right.
You didn't say George? No, he started George. The whole thing. You say George?
Say the best for last, man. Come on.
No, George is my favorite, man. He's like made the whole thing happen.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it all started where they were supposed to be going over to, I think George said, I'm going to go over to Bob Dylan's studio and we're going to record a song or something. Like, just happened to be that one of the other guys there was Tom Petty or somebody. And then they just all started just kind of doing it. He said, hey, let's go over to Roy's house and do this or something. And then everybody just kind of like came together and they're like, you guys want to record a record?
That's
make history?
Crazy.
And I was like, yeah, okay.
And it was like the most epic songwriters at the time.
Yeah, you know, yeah, and it was all of these different generations of the best of different styles. You know what I mean? Like,
let's start one.
Let's start
one.
We
call it
right
the Traveling Dingleberries.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's a nickname for my band sometimes. I'm not sure. I might already be in that band. I don't even know.
That's my new nickname for you, the Traveling Dingleberries.
Oh, yeah, man. I'll take it, whatever, you know.
So you were listening to all this classic rock, all this Grateful Dead,
yeah,
experimental.
Yeah, I was
Queen.
Listening to all that stuff, and you know, I just started singing from a young age, like 5 years old, probably, like really like getting into it in kindergarten and stuff. I was in the choirs and I was doing solos by like first grade, and I went through and my mom got me lessons and my whole family was totally into it. Like, hey, you're gonna, they didn't say you're gonna be a singer for a living, but they said you could do this, you know. It was always like,
yeah,
you could do this, this could be a career for you. And it was always that, and I always had a lot of support from my mom and my dad, and they always, you know, pushed me towards like saying like, hey, like, do this, you can do this, this can be your bread and butter. And when I was younger, my mom got sick and she was in the hospital for a long time, and she was, you know, and so when that happened, I actually kind of backed away from it. I backed away from music because it was painful for me, because, you know, she was bedridden and it was hard, and she was the person who I associated all those memories with, you know.
Right.
So I kind of backed away from music a little bit. I wasn't playing guitar yet, wasn't doing anything like that, and I was just singing. And then, like, junior year of high school, I got back into it by doing musicals. And then doing music, or actually with a band.
Isn't
my
it crazy?
10th grade. It was
it,
like...
It doesn't leave you.
Back.
It doesn't leave
no,
you. It just pulls you back
there.
In.
Yeah, yeah, and I was always singing by myself.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was like, I just didn't want... I was too much pain for a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
And then finally I turned that pain into some kind of definite drive, you know what I mean? Like, to do it. And I remember the moment was when I used to be a varsity wrestler, right? It was like 10th grade. I was really good at it. And I missed all my wrestling practices on the winter break, which I was supposed to go to because I was supposed to do a county tournament and then a state tournament, which is like, you know, big deal. And I missed all the practices because I got with a band and started playing with them like that year.
You're
and
like, sorry, guys.
Screw wrestling, man. Like, I'm going for this. Like, I'm just going to do this, whatever. You know, total like punk kid kind of. But at the same time, realizing that I don't want to do that. I want to do this every day.
Right.
And after that, my coach said, choose one. You can do this or that, you know, we play this talent show at the school, or you can be on their team. And I said, I'm done. Like, I gave them all my stuff and that was it. And I was like, I'm going to do this. Like, I want to play music at least, you know?
Yeah, that's the trunk of approval.
That was it, dude. That's I was like, what did I do to deserve that? I like that now. But yeah, I did that. And then I started going to shows and then I started playing guitar.
When did you start playing guitar?
Probably that same year. I started messing around a little bit with guitar, like 10th grade, and then when I was a junior in high school, or that summer, my dad bought me a guitar, a Carlos Rebelli. It was like $100 from Sam Ashes. I like that. I want that every
Excalibur.
Time. Every time I walk in the room, that's what I no, I called it. It was the best. I named every guitar. That one was I forget what it was. Baby, that was the baby, man. It was all mahogany, great guitar. Started playing.
Our studio audience is impressed.
I love it. Mahogany, huh? He knows his tone woods. I started playing that guitar and just learning song after song after song. I started learning chords first, and the only way I learned was just do song after song after song. And then when I started going to shows and I saw this band called Revolution who played, like, it was like my first show I really went to like by myself. My dad would take me like all like the old Grateful Dead show kind of guys and stuff. But this was just me and my buddies. And I was standing there, and I just had this epiphany. I was like, if these guys can do this, I can do this. This is what I'm doing for a living. I don't want to do anything else. Like, I was thinking about going to school to be a marine biologist because I love surfing, I love the ocean, I love conservation. And I was like, you know what? That's not me. Like, I'm going to be a musician. Like, I'm not going to start from the ground up to do this. And, you know, do all this research. Yeah. I said, no, that's not me. I'm just, you know.
Well, let's get to one of your songs. What are you going to play us first?
Hell yeah, man. I'm going to play a song called The Tide. It's off this this record I just got into doing with the United States Forest Service. And, yeah, this song I wrote before this record came out, but it was – I was gearing it towards a compilation of songs. So it wound up fitting with everything else that came after it. But I knew it would have been perfect when they asked me to do the record.
Whoa!
Whoa! And you got to fulfill some of your conversation. Help me out. Forest and nature and environment.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, yeah. The care for the environment and everything like that.
I was like, where are you going, Renee? I didn't know.
No, but yeah.
I was like, one word. It's a movie.
Conservationalist.
Conservation.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got to fulfill some of those dreams of being able to do that with my music, and now it's kind of a major point for where I am, because, you know, I still do stuff with the Forest Service. Every summer I go up and I play. They have an amphitheater up at Crystal Lake Campground and recreation area, and it's this great outdoor amphitheater just nestled in the side of a mountain. It's like, it's 6,000 feet of elevation, and it's
where is that?
Gorgeous. If you go, I want to say that it's like Azusa. When you're at there, you can get to like the base of the mountain, and I'm trying to remember the exact road that goes up to the top. I think it's 39. 38. There it is, okay. Yeah.
And nice, Renee.
Thanks.
Yeah, I know the area, but I wasn't familiar with the camp.
You go up to 38, and you just keep going until, once it's about probably 30 miles, okay. 30 miles up, and then you'll hit it. It's a Crystal Lake campground. There's a bunch of signs. They have a really good store up there. Really nice people work there, and they take care of you if you go through. It's called, Crystal Lake Cafe. Mm. Place is great. Nice. People are really nice there if you ever go up there. Rilla is the lady's name, and Adam own the store. If you ever get a chance, go up there. Great people, great
nice.
Food. Super, super nice, and they take care of the campground and the whole area. But I actually, when I went up there to record this record, you're going to hear a song from it a little bit later. I actually stayed in the forest there for a week, and I played two shows at the amphitheater, one at the cafe, and then recorded four songs for this EP. And I did it all while living up there in nature, and it was awesome. It was all funded by the Forest Service, and they set me up with, you know, all my supplies and everything. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, I actually had a camera crew up. We filmed the whole thing, so we're going to put a video with it. And it was all recorded live. Everything was recorded live and videotaped at the same time so we could get it all together. And so that's what it's been taking a little bit longer, because it's a much longer process when you have all these shots and all this video. True. And this and that. So, I was able to. That was like that's what this all came from. So the song I'm gonna play right now is from that record, and then
let's hear it. Let's hear it. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's called The Tide. It's a good song. At least I think so.
Time, baby, you come and go. You're like the time, baby, eroding away my soul. Yeah, the sun is setting and the water's getting cold. I'm like the moon, baby, I make you rise. I'm like the moon, baby, shining within those eyes, all those eyes. Yeah, I watch you follow as I drift down through the sky. Thank you. going to sleep. But you're still moving, baby. What's the secret you keep? I know, baby. I know you've done me wrong. So very wrong. You're sleeping and I'm moving, baby. Only thing you'll be is wrong. You're like the tide, baby. You come and go. You're like the tide, baby. Yeah, rolling away my soul. Oh, my very soul. Yeah, the sun is setting and the water's getting cold. Yeah, the sun is setting and the water's getting cold. Yeah, the sun is setting and the water's getting cold.
Breather. Take
a I've been singing, man, for 7 days straight. Oof.
You sound like a musician, dude.
Hell yeah, I love it.
This is what
I
you signed up for,
it.
Man.
This is what's up. I love it.
So let me ask you this. What was the song? What was the main inspiration behind the song?
Well, I'm a big surfer. It's like my favorite thing to do in the whole world. It keeps me grounded. It lets because, you know, as a musician, a lot of the time you have all these things pulling on you. Like, there's always an unfinished project. There's always another idea. There's always something that tugs at you, and you're like, you know, you can't think straight sometimes because you have your mind just going so fast. And it's like, at least for me, I know the ADD is super bad. So this is a way for me to center myself and get away from music, get away from, you know, worrying about ambitions and just like get in the water, float, and harness the power of nature to kind of, you know, let
How often do you surf?
About 2 to 3 times a week.
Wow.
Whenever I'm in town, I mean, I'm going out tomorrow. I'll be out at 5 in the morning and I'll be home at like 2.
That's so,
yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, so I'll do that. You know, it's nice. It's the best way for me, like, to stay
centered.
Centered, for sure. It helps when I'm out there. You know, it's amazing. Like, my dad always used to say to me, he's like, the worst day in water is better than the best day on land, and he is 100%.
That's
right
true.
With that.
That's true.
It's like, man, floating around in the ocean, I'm looking up at the cliffs of Malibu, and I'm just like, how can I ever complain, man? Like, people got so much worse than me. You know, never complain after that. It helps me realize how lucky a person I am to be where I am and to have the chance to do what I do what I love to do every day. So, you know, definitely so a nice wave.
Let's talk about this new EP you got coming out. Is it already out?
No, it's coming out in November, in late November, probably around a little after Thanksgiving. It's going to be 4 songs. It's called Place to Be Free, and I'm actually going to play the title track off that in a little bit, but it's, that was with in association with the United States Forest Service, and so we recorded that up. That was what I was talking about before, the 4 songs. And the
were they upset forest. That you always wanted to wear a loincloth?
No, it wasn't even a loincloth, man. It was just a sock with Red Hot Chili Peppers style,
made of leaves.
They told me, like, that was a requirement for the gig. They're like, listen, man, you got to go all natural.
You're like, have you seen my locks?
Have you seen? Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? It's exactly. They said it's a requirement. That's the album cover, actually. No, I'm just kidding. Don't be scared.
You're going one step too deep. I was like, all right, we're done. We're done with that, man. We're done with that. All right, so tell us about what the instrumentation like is with this track that we're going to play.
All right, cool. Yeah, this track is called Fight Free. It's got a cajon on it. Electric bass.
Tell Renan what a cajon is, because right now he thinks it's probably cajon. Right here. You know,
well, something you smoke weed with.
I mean, you could. You could. I'm sure I've tried it before. A cajon is like it's a box. It's a box that you sit on. It's got a hole in the back and snares on the front of it. And so, like, the sides, you can hit the sides. And it's like a bass drum sound, and the front is like a snare. And the front is like a snare sound. It's got like a nice poppy snare. like that.
A real I'm trying to soundscape his description.
Exactly. I like that. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, it's a box. The box drum. It's an acoustic drum.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's me on acoustic guitar. Mike Zagon and Ben Heyman is playing the bass. Really talented bass player. Super nice guy. Great friend of mine. And Till Richer on the cajon, playing all the percussion stuff. And I think he had a. I don't know if he had like. Oh, he actually he's playing a snare and a cajon on this. I forgot he's playing.
Isn't
a snare
his last
and a
name
cajon.
Richter? Ooh, I think it is.
Yeah, in German, in German you could say it like that, but a New Yorker will say it like I say it. And I've said it to him like that before, and he's never corrected me. So until if you're listening right
he
now,
he probably leaves. He's like,
I'm sorry,
American.
Buddy, but it's, yeah, he's like, oh, I hate it. No, he's I love that guy. At least I think he likes me. Damn, it might be different after tonight. I'm sorry, buddy. Yeah, but this is just like the three piece right.
What's
here.
The name of the song?
Fight Free.
Here we go, ladies and gents. Fight Free.
You might find your back up against the wall, but you gotta stand your ground. Keep on walking tall, 'cause body language is the way that we speak, without saying nothing at all. Gotta stay strong, gotta walk tall, keep moving on. Yeah, gotta stay strong,
So you kind of have like a very sublime-ish meets kind of hip hop.
Yeah,
I hear a hip hop sound that I haven't heard in you before. Tell us about that, that transition from the first record.
Yeah, that song specifically was what brought that out. That one that I just wrote, because the next tune I'm gonna play is 100% different. But that really came out in that tune, because I've always had that kind of percussive kind of singing style. Like in the back pocket, I used to always do a very a lot of. What would you say, like improv kind of stuff?
I'm sorry. I'm just kidding.
Just getting at me right now, like super hard, get all serious, you know?
Just kidding.
I've had these, I've had that like in me for a while, and I've just tried to get it out in the right way.
You've had this in you for a while.
I was waiting, I was setting you up, man. Come on. I think I have a sense of humor over here. Yeah, no, but, thank you. You know, and finally, like that song facilitated that ability. You know what I mean? Like when I wrote it and started coming out, and it was just like, I was just really happy with the sound, because I was like, man, this is like kind of what I've been trying to cultivate, but I haven't been able to find the right medium and the right message. And
that I love song, the lyrics. My favorite line was like, plant seeds of peace and watch love grow, or start.
Plant some seeds of peace and start growing love.
Yeah, so
watch it shoot up from
line.
The ground to the sky, showering the people with hope in their eyes. Like,
yeah.
That was like the whole entire idea was that there's so much, you know,
inspiration,
so much hate. Well, there's so much like hate in the world, and people let their beliefs and their religion get in the way of rational thought and love and just basic humility.
Yeah.
And it's like you have to fight for your freedom, even from the people around you. But it's not that hard of a fight when it's the internal fight. Like that's when you can get peace with yourself and get real freedom, because to me, freedom is happiness, freedom is peace of mind, and you create your own freedom. Like, there's a line there, it says, that's actually the next tune, sorry. Next tune I'm going to play has a line, and it says, freedom's not a thing, it's a state of mind. I mean, and of course, you can be oppressed and you can be in prison, but you can still be free in yourself, like, in who you are. I've never had that happen to me, but I've definitely known that I've not let myself be free in my art because of what other people might think or how I felt about it, or, you know, this and that, and all those insecurities of when, you know, just being a person in society a lot of time and watching all the things happen around you and all these other people be oppressed in certain ways, and just, you know, just had to say something about it, and that was the way to do it without being annoying. At least I hope so.
Do you usually, the songs that you write for yourself, do you usually have this social kind of message to it, or
this song, this record specifically, was the one that really started having that more social message to it?
It was in and out.
That was a rim.
I know.
There was Nikki throwing an empty water bottle.
I was hoping you'd make it.
We're professionals here, right?
It's part of the show, though, Ronan. It's like I'm always like trying to make it.
Yeah,
but I don't think that's always been
social
fabric
consciousness
of your songs.
Wasn't really it, and then I started becoming more socially conscious, and I think that was where it started coming out. But
was that like a coming of age thing? Like you were like
definitely
life in a different way.
Yeah,
you recently got engaged.
This was before I got engaged, though.
Okay,
too. This was a little bit before then. But either way,
Congrats, by the way.
Growing up. Thank you very much. Yeah, Cammie Mott, great girl. Love you. At home right now. She's probably sleeping. She's a doctor of physical therapy.
Wow.
Someone needs to bring out the bacon. Right?
Hey, you know, not the worst deal, but no, she's awesome. And doctor by 24, like super, super sweet girl. Yeah, really
smart,
just loving, friendly, nice, loves animals, like soulmate.
She must.
Exactly. She loves me. I'm an animal. I'll tell you. But that was like the first socially conscious song I really wrote. Now I've been working on more. There's another one that's coming out that's going to be somewhat like this. But a lot of the stuff I wrote was about always about myself, or like struggles like that, or, you know, like things where, you know, like the last tune was like Wipe the Past from Your Eyes when we did that record together.
Yep.
And that was...
That was fun. That whole record process was just I produced a lot of artists, Ronan, but I had a lot of fun on his record.
Yeah.
We were just like heckling each other the whole time.
Oh, it was brutal.
And then we were making like great art. And then we were heckling each other the whole time.
We were eating some great food.
Yeah, eating some great food.
We were killing it. Oh.
Yeah.
some good stuff.
Story of my life,
yeah.
Man.
We had a lot of good times then, though. I mean, that was a great record. But that was more like about myself, like an introspective look. Mm-hmm. And this now is more of like, okay, who cares about you? Let's look at the actual problems of the world. Like, you're not
the bigger
picture. Yeah, you're not 20 anymore. Like, yeah. 18 when I wrote those songs. You know, I was young. But, you know, now at 24, I think I've seen more things. I've known more things. I've done a lot of traveling. I've done a lot of playing. I've done a lot of seeing. I've lost a lot of people. It's like you just, the things that you start to realize really matter. You know, then that starts coming out.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
And also, you know, you're at a time, too, where it's like you see the candidates in the election.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like you've only voted maybe once, right, before?
Yeah.
This is like a totally new kind of it's a new opportunity to make change.
Yeah.
And seeing the candidates and seeing the issues and seeing all the hate on Facebook, I'm sure.
There's not much change in either direction, but you know, you kind of try and figure it out for yourself. And
but I mean, it's like that makes you want to be more socially conscious.
Of course, because eventually, because then it makes you look and you go, how the hell did all this happen?
Yeah.
Like, what happened? How did we get here? You know, and like.
Well, it's because artists aren't doing that. I mean, look at the Bob Dylans and the John Lennons and the Jimi Hendrixes. Mm-hmm. And they were about, you know, making change. And like now artists are talking about
you
bling.
Too. But yeah. You too, even they sold out and they completely changed their, you know, agenda. But listen to the first albums. They're like, amazing. Everything's political.
But those are their best songs too.
Yeah.
Those are their best songs.
I agree.
There's a lot of
coincidence. No one cares about a lot of that stuff now that they're doing. You know, I mean, for the most part, I mean, it's not never going to surpass what they've done because that was their true self, them as artists, their true selves. Them being
the one thing I love about artists, and it, like not only just being one, but also just being a part of a world of artists, it's like you definitely have this canvas to express and observe what's going on in the world. And it's like what artists aren't doing enough of now to me is taking advantage of that voice and saying something that matters, saying something about political change. Like, you know, I've taken a long time from my last record to this upcoming record that I'll do in maybe a year or so, and it's like it's definitely going to be politically charged, and it's going to have a lot more of that in it, because you have to. It's like if you don't say it, then who is?
Well, but artists for decades, they kept away from politics because it was art, so we don't deal with politics and dirty stuff. But now, you know, in the last 10 years or so, society changed a lot.
Yeah.
And they're not afraid, as artists, they're not afraid to, you know, voice their opinions. And a good artist is someone who, you know, notices everything around them. It's not like, you know, I'm painting still, you know, nature, so that's, I don't care about anything else as long as I pay my, paint my daisies in a vase. So, but it's just like, and also musicians, you know, they're not, especially with musicians, because, you know, you always have to think about the economic side of it, right? But I think as artists, people are not afraid anymore to voice their opinions politically and
socially.
But
it's become like, music has become like so commercial in the sense where they don't want to hear those opinions as much, but I'm like, look for that.
I agree.
You know? Sometimes for me, it's almost like a sense of control and dumbing down a lot of the time when all the songs are just they sound very similar.
Exactly.
They're about materialistic possessions or making money or this and that or, you know, whatever it has to be about, or it's just sound. I mean, a lot of the time, there's not a lot that inspires me anymore that's out there on the market. There's not a lot of music that really inspires.
Unfortunately,
me.
The popular and the successful artists are the one that, you know, they get appeal to the lowest common denominator.
Yeah. It's easier to market that.
Yeah, maybe because people's lives are so crappy, so they say, I don't want them to sing about it. Actually, I want them to sing about, you know, my dreams, you know. Yeah. Making it, being famous and rich and living in a mansion.
I mean, and now, especially with social media, people can actually just, you can just put whatever you want your life to look like. You just put that out there and you can live this completely false life online than who you actually are. And like, can live that bling life. You know what I mean? Like that.
True.
Big well, nobody my knows. Life has a lot to do with Otis because he's.
I know, dude. I see your dog all the time, but I love it. I love it. I love seeing it. I love it.
My life is full of Otis. All right. So where can people find you real quick before you play your last song?
All social media outlets is the same. Mzigon at Mzigon. That's Instagram, Twitter. And then Facebook, you can find me just at Mike Zigon or Zigon Band. You can just
spell it all out because people
Zigon. This is Mike, Mike, Zigon. And then my website is zigonmusic.com. So zigonmusic.com.
Way to be consistent.
Hell yeah, man. I got a good last name. I'm going to ride it as long
as
I can.
That's right. Well, let's hear. What are we going to hear last?
This is the title track off this record. It's called A Place to Be Free. And I wrote it. This was the one that was specifically for the Forest Service that I wrote, like when I was doing it, and I did Fight Free with it as well. But this was the one where I was like, yeah, this is the title track. This is what they're looking for. This is the conservation element. It's about the forest, but it's not just it's all about trees and rivers and love. But no, it's you can take a little more away from it than that.
Okay, cool.
But it has those elements in there for sure.
All right.
Whisper soft and sweet, place your hand in mine. As the shades of night roll in, now leaves your worried mind. Nothing left but time, trickle through the pines. Watch it flow and wind into this thing that we call life. You'll find love among the forest under evergreens, compassion running down each and every stream. You'll find peace in open skies and stars that gleam, 'cause the forest is a place where you can be free. Freedom's not a thing, it's a state of mind. If you wanna spread your wings and take to the sky, find the peace inside. Keep your heart open wide. Poise will come in time, just keep that goal strong in mind. You'll find love among the forest under evergreens, compassion running down each and every stream. You'll find peace in open skies and stars that gleam, 'cause the forest is a place where we can be free. You must find a place to go, where love and inspiration they can overflow. Finding a way back home ain't so easy when you're long gone. Winding along this road is so lonely when you're far from your home. Just push on down this road. You'll find love among the forest under evergreens, compassion running down each and every stream. You'll find peace in open skies and stars that gleam, 'cause the forest is a place where you can be free. You'll find love among the forest under evergreens, compassion running down each and every stream. You'll find peace in open skies and stars that gleam, 'cause the forest is a place where you can be free.
We must almost find that place where we can be free.
Yeah! That's so pretty, man.
That's a pretty song.
A pretty song.
It was originally supposed to be a song for my fiance, and then it just kind of switched directions.
You're like, honey, I'm going to write about the forest.
I told her, I'm not even kidding, man. You have to hear it. When I told her, I said, sweetie, I wrote this really beautiful song. And I was like, I want to show it to you. And I said, it was going to be about you. But then it started changing. And she's like, oh, come on. she's like, I wanted that one, especially when I showed it to her. She's like, oh.
Well, Mike, you know what? We're glad to have you back. You're going to have to come back and visit us again.
Hell yeah, dude.
When you're off your Vegas tours.
Whew. Yeah, I'm off for 2 weeks now. A lot of surfing. Ooh. A lot of hanging out with my cat. Stevie Ray Meown, big shout out. My next cat's going to be Malcolm McDonald. So, yeah, I got plans down the road.
I like it.
Hell yeah. But
Ronan, thank you for filling in as co-host.
Thanks for having me. It was fun.
We'll have you back, Mike. Ronan, you're always going to be here, we hope. And
of course.
Thank you for filling in for Eddie. We'll see you guys next week.